This evening we are considering Lord's Day 25 in the Heidelberg Catechism. You can find that on page 882 in the back of our Trinity Psalter hymnal. Page 882. Lord's Day 25, I'll read each of these questions and we can respond together with each answer. First, question 65. It is by faith alone that we share in Christ and all his benefits. Where then does that faith come from? The Holy Spirit works it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the Holy Sacraments. What are sacraments? Sacraments are visible, holy signs and seals. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and seal that promise. And this is God's gospel promise. He grants us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. Are both the Word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. The Holy Spirit teaches us in the gospel and confirms by the holy sacraments that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. How many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament? Two, holy baptism and the Holy Supper. Now I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Romans chapter 10. That'll be the passage we're considering this evening, Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open your word together, please give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints and your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of your mighty strength which you exerted in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. Brothers, my heart's desire in prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Isaiah he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, every generation of the church has had its own question to wrestle with and figure out. In the early days, the tension was between, as we see in our passage, Jews and Gentiles who belonged to the people of God. Later, the church fought to clarify what she understood about the Trinity. What does that mean exactly? And then later came debates over grace and our works, human effort. And then over the end times, over the authority of Scripture. And today we live in a world that resists the claim that Christ is the only way of salvation. And so there's always going to be something. There will always be a challenge, a question, a pressure that forces the church to go back to Scripture again and again and ask, what is the gospel? How does God save sinners? In the time of the Reformation, one of the greatest rediscoveries of the gospel came not only in the doctrine of justification by faith alone, but also in a right understanding of the sacraments. The Reformers saw that the Lord's Supper was not a re-sacrificing of Christ, but rather a proclamation of his finished work. They saw that baptism and the supper were not human achievements, things that we accomplish by our own abilities and strength, but rather gifts from God that communicate his grace to us, that show us in a visible way the gospel. As Augustine famously put it, the sacraments are an outward and visible sign of an inward, invisible grace. And that raises a very practical question for us this evening. How does the Holy Spirit work through the preaching of the Word and the sacraments in our lives? Because if we're honest, when we think about growing spiritually, if someone were to come up to you and, well, how are you growing spiritually? Our minds often go to the big ticket items, like a conference we've just attended, or retreats, or small groups, or maybe a powerful moment or conversation we've had with someone important in our life. And while those are helpful, Scripture points us to something far more ordinary and powerful. Week after week, God meets with us in a powerful and simple way. Through the preaching of the gospel, through the water of baptism, through the bread and the cup of his table. And through these ordinary means, the Holy Spirit is doing something extraordinary. He is speaking to us. He's showing us the gospel. And he's assuring us, sealing our salvation. Now that's what we see this evening as we look at Romans 10 together, how God meets us through word and sacrament, through working faith in us and making the gospel visible to us and assuring us that we truly belong to Christ. Those are our 3 points this evening. First, we're looking at God speaking to us, how God speaks to us and works that faith in us. Now, how does the Word and the sacrament help us to grow spiritually? Like I mentioned, often when we think about spiritual growth, we don't often, first of all, thinking of, well, the preached Word and the sacraments, the Lord's Supper and baptism. We think of those big moments, those spiritual high experiences, the people who have shaped our faith, and those things are good and they're important, but God often brings us back, or his word gently redirects and reminds us of something much more ordinary, much more dependable. The meat and potatoes of the Christian life, as we all enjoy the smell of the roast that's cooking in the kitchen. The primary way that God grows us, the steady week in and week out nourishment for our souls, is through the preaching of the gospel, and through the sacraments. This isn't flashy. It's not always emotional, but it's deeply sustaining and nourishing. And it's here in these simple and repeated means that God has promised to meet us. And so the question becomes, what exactly is God doing through these means of grace, as we call them? How does the Holy Spirit use the Word and the sacraments to grow our faith, to nourish us? In verses 8 through 13, Paul points to faith in Jesus Christ being something we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth. And this faith, as the Catechism mentions, is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, which is brought about by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirmed by the use of the sacraments, Lord's Supper and baptism. And here Paul, in our passage in verses 14 through 15, he's basically answering the same question that the Catechism is asking of, where does this faith come from? And Paul has 4 how questions and kind of a step-by-step explanation of how the Spirit works faith in our lives. Verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so we can respond to that by asking, okay, well, how do I get to the point of calling on the name of the Lord? Paul is kind of beginning at the end here. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So how do I get to that point? How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed, is the question Paul asks in verse 14. Basically, how can unbelievers call on the Lord, the one they don't believe in? You can't call on the name of the Lord if you don't believe in him, basically. You can't have faith in the Lord, or you have to have faith in the Lord if you're going to call upon his name. And so Paul goes on, how can they believe or have faith in him of whom they have never heard? How can they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? Now, there's a nuance here. Of whom they have never heard, or never heard of him. It makes it sound like Paul is saying they can't believe in him if they've never heard of him. So you can't believe in Jesus if you've never heard of Jesus. But the nuance is also, you can't believe in Jesus if you've never heard his word, him speak to you. And the point is that it is Christ himself who speaks to us. That it is hearing him that leads to faith, that leads to belief, and then calling on his name, which leads to salvation. Verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message. You're hearing the gospel. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Whether we take that word of Christ to mean the word about Christ or the word from Christ, the point is that the content of what is proclaimed, what is preached, is what God has given. It is God speaking His gospel to us. And so one of the tools, one of the ways that the Spirit produces faith in our hearts is by the preaching of the Holy Gospel. So how does the Holy Spirit use the Word and sacraments in our lives? Well, it's used to work faith in our hearts. It's that Holy Spirit who works faith in our hearts, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift from God. Now the point is that it is the Holy Spirit who produces or works faith in our hearts. And the way or the tool or the means by which the Holy Spirit brings about this faith in us is through the Word and the sacraments. I tell our catechism class that there's a reason that we have the pulpit as central and we have the communion table and the baptismal font up front, because it's the means of grace. It's reminding us of how God is working that faith in our lives. Paul's third question, how are they to hear without someone preaching? So how can they hear of this gospel without someone proclaiming this gospel to them, preaching the word to them? Fourth, how are they to preach unless they are sent? Now we're getting to the messenger side of things. How can they preach unless they are sent? And this gets at the idea of a messenger or a herald sent by God to bring His people the good news, to bring the message to His people. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, the good news of the gospel. Because it's the Spirit who uses the Word and the sacraments to work and produce faith in our hearts. That's why the preached Word, baptism, Lord's Supper, are sometimes called the means of grace. Because they are the way or the tools that the Holy Spirit uses to work and confirm our faith in God's gospel promises. How does the Holy Spirit use the Word and the sacraments to help us grow spiritually? Well, first of all, what we're seeing is that this is God speaking His gospel to us. That's where that faith comes from, through the proclamation of the gospel, God's Word. And second, as we continue on this evening, we not only hear the gospel proclaimed, but God also shows us the gospel. The gospel is made visible in the sacraments. Question 66 asks, well, what are the sacraments? And explains that the sacraments are visible, holy signs and seals. So something for us to see, signs and seals for us to see. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, He might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel. So they drive home the gospel. You hear the gospel proclaimed, and baptism and the Lord's Supper drive home the promises of the gospel. And what is the gospel, if you're wondering? Well, there in the catechism we have a summary. That God grants us forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace because of Christ's one sacrifice accomplished on the cross. When we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, what are we celebrating? This is my body, this is my blood, given for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. When we're celebrating the sacrament of baptism, it's the washing away of our sins by the blood of Christ. Now, getting back to our Romans 10 passage here, Paul is desiring the salvation of all his fellow Jews. And you can hear his urgency, especially at the beginning of our passage, the beginning of chapter 10. He's passionate, and he's in anguish over the situation of his fellow Jews rejecting the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Instead of holding on to the gospel, which points to the righteousness of Christ, these Jews are holding on to the law and trying to get into heaven based on their own works, on their own good behavior. They're trying to get into heaven based on the bonus point system and earn their way into heaven by all of their good deeds. And Paul is saying that this is completely pointless. Verse 2, they are zealous for good, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Sure, they have a zeal, they have a passion, but it's not based on a knowledge. They did not know the righteousness, or they don't know the righteousness that came from God and sought to establish a righteousness based on their own track record, on their own obedience. What's the gospel? It's the forgiveness of our sins. It's God giving us eternal life by grace alone because of Christ's one sacrifice finished on the cross. Look at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ perfectly fulfilled the law. Perfect obedience. And through his perfect obedience, something that none of us could ever do, we are offered that righteousness. Christ offers a new righteousness, his righteousness, to those who receive it by faith. Now, where does that faith come from? Well, it comes from hearing the gospel. Do the sacraments produce faith? No. No, they don't. Do sacraments save us? No. What do? Well, they confirm our faith. They help us understand the gospel promises more clearly. They are the visual aid, the visual representation of the gospel. We hear the gospel, we hear the word, and they assure us of our salvation. You can think of what the catechism says when it comes to the Lord's Supper. As surely as I eat this bread or drink this cup, just as surely is Christ's salvation for me. Just as real as this bread that I'm holding in my hand, just as real is the salvation that is mine in Christ by faith. But what does it say, verse 8 asks? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. When Paul is talking about the word here, it's the word of faith, or to say it another way, it's the message that calls for faith. It's the gospel message. It's what Paul has been proclaiming to them. And now he specifically points to our hearts and to our mouths as the expression of this faith. It is in your heart and in your mouth. You have to have the profession or the confession of Jesus Christ as Lord with your mouth, and you have a faith and a believing in him with your heart. And these two are inseparably linked together. Believing in Jesus in your heart and saying it with your mouth are one and the same thing. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, look at the progression here. That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. This profession, this confession, is the outward expression of what you believe inwardly. This faith in Jesus Christ, believing in your heart, confessing it with your mouth, you can't have one without the other. You can't have profession without faith. Paul isn't talking about a profession without a faith, a superficial confession with the mouth that has no root in a faith that's in the heart. Or like in Matthew 7 verse 22 when they say, Lord, Lord, and he never knew them. That's a false profession. You can't have profession without faith. And you can't have faith without a profession. Paul also doesn't even consider a faith without confessing it with your mouth. Believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord and then never expressing that out loud or confessing that with your mouth isn't even an option here. If anyone really believes, he or she is going to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You can't have one without the other. Can't have faith without a profession. If you believe in your heart, then you're going to say it with your mouth. Now, how does that fit into profession of faith? Those of you who have not stood up and professed your faith yet, here's what's going on right now. The Spirit is at work in your heart through the preaching of the gospel. through the Word, through the sacraments, developing and working faith in your heart. So if in your heart you know that Jesus is Lord, if you are sitting here this evening and you're thinking, yeah, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that you believe in Him, that these promises are true, the promises you see in baptism and in the Lord's Supper are true, not only for all those people out there, but also true for you personally, then that's the Holy Spirit working powerfully in your life. And the next step is to say that with your mouth, that what you believe in your heart. Like Paul explains in verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So if you're sitting there and thinking, I do believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I'm ready to say that, then you're ready to profess your faith. Come and talk to me. Talk to your parents. Talk to one of your elders. Now for the rest of us who have professed our faith, what we need to realize is that this isn't just a one-time event. You don't just profess your faith and get your certificate and now you're good to go and you're done professing your faith for the rest of your life, kind of like receiving a high school diploma and I'm done with that and I don't have to go through that again. Just like the faith in our hearts isn't a one-time thing, the Spirit is still working through the Word, through the sacraments. We're still believing, which means we're still confessing with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. The Spirit continues His work in our lives through the Word, through the sacraments, taking the gospel, working and confirming our faith, helping us to understand and clarify the promises and focusing our assurance on Christ alone. And that brings us to our third and our final point this evening, how God seals us. And that's getting at the assurance that is ours in Christ. We hear the Word, we see the Word, and we are assured of that gospel promise for us personally. God seals us. Now the Word and sacraments are ultimately pointing to Christ. What do the sacraments help us see? What do they seal or assure us of? When we talk about the sacraments, we mention how the sacraments are signs. And what we mean is that they point us and they direct our attention to something much greater than just the water or the wine or the bread. They're directing our attention to the gospel, what Jesus has done for our salvation. So we talk about them as signs, but we also refer to them as seals, signs and seals. Now the sacraments seal or certify or confirm what God has promised us in the gospel. The sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper are seals in that they are certifying and confirming and guaranteeing, assuring that the promises of the gospel that we heard, that were proclaimed in the preaching of the Word, are in fact authentic and true. A seal is a guarantee of the righteousness of Christ that is ours by faith. So what is the ultimate reason for baptism and for the Lord's Supper and for preaching sermons? Let's say that you forget everything in this sermon up to this point. Maybe you've been sleeping and you just woke up and you're wondering what's going on. Well, what is the ultimate reason for the Lord's Supper, for baptism, for preaching sermons? It is faith alone in Christ alone. It's about Christ and the salvation that we have in Him. Like verse 13 tells us, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Paul asks in Romans 6 verse 3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? He says in Galatians 3 verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And when he's teaching the Corinthians about the Lord's Supper, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. What is the reason? What is the purpose of baptism and the Lord's Supper and preaching sermons? It's hearing the gospel. hearing the words of Christ. It's seeing the gospel, seeing Christ. It's responding to the gospel, saying with our mouths what we believe in our hearts, a response of faith. And having the assurance of salvation, having that comfort in life and in death, and expressing that faith that is in your heart. Because we know, like verse 13 says, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you thanking and praising you for the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, for the proclamation of the word. Because how will they call on you in whom they have not believed? And how are they going to believe if they've never heard? And how are they going to hear without someone preaching to them? Lord, we thank you and we praise you that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it's our prayer, Lord, that the gospel will go out with power and not return empty. That your word will be proclaimed and that lives will be transformed. That we will be assured of our faith. Assured of the salvation that is ours in Christ by the sacraments. As we understand this gospel, this good news of salvation more and more clearly. And as a result, love and praise you all the more for the great things that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.